And greetings in Jesus' name this evening. It's good to be here, worship with you, and just as we look into God's Word, we can be inspired, encouraged, and built up. Thank you, John, for those devotional thoughts. I think they tie well with some of the thoughts that I have today. Why is it that when things are going well for us, we have plenty, that's when we tend to forget God, we tend to forget what He's done for us, and maybe our offerings become a little less sincere. I want to think about some of that this evening, and I appreciate the devotional thoughts and the way it introduced the thoughts. Title of the message, Pitfalls of Prosperity. We live in a country that is very well blessed. Probably one of the wealthiest countries in the world. We live in a country that has an economic system that allows you and I to provide for ourselves. I really don't think there's anyone here that is struggling to provide for their daily physical needs, shelter, food, clothing. You all seem to be, looks like you're doing well and are able to provide for yourselves. It's not that way for everyone, not even for everyone in this country. There is people that are struggling to get by, make ends meet. I don't think any of us spent a night on the street in the last month because you got evicted from your apartment or that you had to go digging through a dumpster to find something to eat. We have prosperity today. That is, we've been blessed very well. Thinking back, I think even today it's different than it was 50 or 100 years ago. Think back to when our forefathers came to America. They worked from sun up to sundown to provide, just to get by, just to exist. Today, there is many people that spend large percent of their income on unnecessary expenditures. Think of the entertainment industry, tourism, restaurants, vacation destinations. They rely heavily on people's discretionary income. They're looking for the part of your income that you don't really need to get by. And look at how those industries are doing. The restaurant industry last year, I think it was 2023, was a little over $1 trillion industry. That's just one of those industries. There's many others. Some of those others would probably possibly could be bigger. People spend thousands of dollars on hunting trips, cruises, gambling, vacation destinations. Think of the destinations like Las Vegas or even Niagara Falls, one of the beautiful wonders that God has created, and how they've turned it into something that is a tourist trap. Many people own a second home, a vacation home for weekends and holidays, a place to go. We live in a country that has a lot of prosperity. And yes, some of these things that I mentioned we would say no to, we will not get involved in, but I think we have to admit that it does affect us. It does somehow has affected us, and it's something that we think about. We live in a country that's promoted the American dream. Provide a good income, retire, then buy an RV and crisscross the country over the summertime, end up in Florida for the winter. Is that what our goals are? Is that what we're living for? I trust not. And like I said, I don't think we are, but I think it does affect us. It does somehow help. We do think about those things, and we are affected by the American dream, the thought of providing and having a retirement that's there for us. What are the pitfalls of prosperity facing the church today? What are some of the challenges that you and I need to be thinking about? Well, I have four pitfalls I want to look at tonight. There's more. I'm sure you'll think of others, and we can discuss that after the service as well. I invite you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8 for the first one that we want to look at here this evening. Deuteronomy 8 is Moses talking to the children of Israel, and this was his warning to them about what, after they came into the land and they had a lot, what were they going to do? And I'm going to take the time to read this chapter. Think about some of the comparisons between what the children of Israel were going to have when they came into Canaan and what we have today. Some of the blessings, the privilege, the wealth that was there, and how the warning that Moses gave to them to be careful that it did not get their attention too much. Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'm going to read the chapter. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know the man that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and draught, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before you face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. The first pitfall of prosperity is forgetting the Lord your God. Moses was warning the children of Israel that if they came into this land and they had all these blessings, they had everything they needed, the potential was there that they could forget God. They could forget what he had done for them. When they had plenty to eat, they had houses, they had land that was producing well, they could easily forget what God had done for them in the wilderness, how he had provided for them and given them all the blessings that they had during those 40 years, the manna, the quail that he brought to them, how he provided for them in their clothes not wearing out, their shoes not wearing out. The potential was there to forget the Lord your God. How do we forget the Lord our God today? What are some ways that we could forget him. First one is, if we forget history, Moses was giving them some history. He told them, reminded them of what they had experienced here in the wilderness. And he said, don't forget about that. And if we forget history, I think we're going to be tempted to forget what the Lord has done for us. I think we do well to remember the generations before us that endured hardship, persecution, that went through things that we know nothing about. Remember what they faced and the way they were able to stand faithful through that. We're blessed with many freedoms. Let's not take them for granted. We have natural blessings. We have all the, as I was talking, all the abundance of things to eat. We have a economic system that is very pro having us involved in providing for our family and making an income. Let's not forget history. Read stories of almost 100 years ago, 95 years ago in the Depression, the 1930s, and there was many people that struggled to just eke out enough money each day to buy food for their family. Let's be thankful for what we have and not forget history. Maybe another thing in history that we could think about, the other side to that, was the Russian Mennonites and the way they prospered when they settled Russia and Ukraine, and then they forgot God. Many of them turning aside, many of them becoming lax in their Christian life and their sincerity to follow God wholeheartedly. The potential is there for us, and let's not forget history. Let's not forget what God has given to us and what he's done for us. There's many today living in countries that still cannot provide well for their families. They struggle to get by from day to day. Let's be thankful and grateful for the blessings we have. And that brings me into the second one of how we can forget God today, is if we forget to be thankful. In verse 10 of Deuteronomy 8, it says, when thou hast eaten and art full, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Moses was commanding them to thank the Lord for what he had given them. It can be a temptation to take what we have for granted. What we have is feels like something that is normal. You look around us and we see other people that are prospering. They're doing well and they're able to provide. Let's not take it for granted. We have been blessed abundantly. We need to remember that God is the one who gave us these blessings. Acknowledge his involvement in our lives. Acknowledge that he is the one that gave us the strength. He's the one that gave us the ability to work, to provide for our families. Thank God for a land of opportunity and plenty. Thank God for the government that has given us a economic system that is open to us providing and able to provide. Thank God for the opportunities of peace in this country. Peace and prosperity go hand in hand. And I think we need to remember that God has given us these opportunities. Let's use them and thank him for them. Remember what God has given to us. In this passage, in verse 19 and 20, towards the end of the chapter, there's a warning of what would happen to these Israelites if they forgot what God did for them. He said that they would perish if they forgot. It shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. What happens if we forget God today? What will happen? Will we perish? I had to think of, again, going back to some history, but 50 to 60 years ago and the rapid shift worldward that happened in the Mennonite church, people that forgot God, they forgot to honor God in a correct way. Maybe you could say, well, you know, we don't see that happening today. There's a lot of revival movement and a lot of churches that are intent on following God, but I believe it can happen one person at a time, one family at a time. Let's beware that if we forget God, he says we will perish. Let's remember to honor him, thank him. Never let the things that we have, the blessings that we have, somehow make us think that we have done this ourselves without his input, his direction, his blessing on our lives. And that brings me to the second peril, and it's very closely related. Second peril of prosperity is trusting in our own strength. You can turn to Luke chapter 12. This is a parable of Jesus. Jesus gave about the rich man. Luke 12, and we're going to read verses 16 to 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is very close to the last one of forgetting God. This man did forget what God had done to him, for him. But I want to focus a little more on thinking about how he trusted in his own ability and his own cunning to... He figured he had enough to retire on. If we forget God, it probably means we're trusting in something else. Either we're trusting in the government, the world around us, the economic system that we live in, or ourselves. And I believe it's very easy to do when things are going well. Business is a success. There's not a lot of backsets or hardships. We can very easily begin to feel like we have done this ourselves. We've got it figured out. We can keep this going. It's working out well for us. And we see that's what happened for this man. He had a good year. Things were going well. He didn't even have enough room to put it all away, to store it all. So he made some plans and decided that he could retire, kick back, take it easy, relax, and life would go on like it was. What are some indicators of trusting in our own strength? Well, what did this man do? First one I see is that he was planning for the future with no recognition that God is in control. He made plans to retire. He said, I'm going to have goods laid up for many years. I'm going to take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to just live it up. And he did not recognize, and we see then God saying to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be that provided? God was still in control, and God held him accountable for that. Let's not be planning for the future with no recognition of God. God had different plans for him. We've been blessed abundantly, but let's never trust in our own strength and our own cunning, our own shrewd decisions as to why we're where we are. It's through God's blessing. Yes, God uses, he does call us to be good stewards. He calls us to make wise decisions. But let's recognize that God has given us that ability and thank Him for it. When we make plans, let's use the phrase, if the Lord wills. Let's remember that God could call us through an accident, through a heart attack, through other means. He could say, your time here is over, just like He did for this man. Let's remember that God is in control. He is the one who holds our breath in His hand. Another thing that I see in this parable, maybe a direct application to what this man's plan was, retirement for the sake of retirement is not something that is pleasing to God. And I understand, I want to hasten on, that age brings changes. And some of you know that much better than I do. There is things that will change as we age. But is God pleased when a person that is in good health quits his job and just takes it easy, sits around, goes to Florida, and lives it up? I don't think it's something we face as a real big challenge in our setting, and I'm thankful for that. I'm glad for the brothers that are, maybe they're slowing down, but they're still involved in something that is a blessing to the kingdom of God. Maybe it's service opportunities, and that's something that I want to commend those of you that are doing, to be involved in something like that when you can, as you have opportunity, be able to donate some time, donate some energy into the kingdom of God as we age and grow older. That's a blessing and something that I believe is laying up treasures in heaven. In this verse, it says that this man was laying up treasure for himself and he was not rich toward God. Let's be laying up treasure in heaven instead of laying up treasure for ourselves. The third peril of prosperity is becoming lukewarm in our spiritual life. You can turn to Revelation 3. We're going to read the account of the church at Laodicea. Very familiar account, but again, want to think about what was happening here in this church and how they had cooled off in their Christian life. And one of the factors, I believe, was their prosperity. And we'll see that as we read this account. Revelation 3, verses 14 to 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. These people had cooled off in their spiritual life. They had cooled off in their fervor for following God. And one of the reasons given is because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Riches and increased goods, having need of nothing, it brings a person to a place that he hardly even sees his need of God. And that it still is tying back into this trusting in our own strength and forgetting God. But why do I need God if I can provide everything for myself? Why do I need God's help in my life if I have this figured out here myself? But notice how God seen them. He seen them in a totally different light. In these verses it says that God said they are wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. And then God gave them a prescription of how to fix that. He gave them what they could do. I find it interesting that it involved buying something. They were to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. God had a plan for them to, again, become prosperous, to become rich, but rich towards Him, not for themselves. How can we become lukewarm in our spiritual lives? Just a few practical thoughts. Let's remain active in congregational activities. And I'm probably preaching to the choir here tonight to say that. You're here on a Sunday evening when you could be somewhere else. You're part of a small congregation that's actively working at getting another church building ready, and it takes everybody to make church happen. Thank you for that, and keep doing that. Don't forget that after you're settled into the new building and things are going smoothly. What about prayer meeting, winter Bible school, other, could you say, the extra parts of church life? Let's avail ourselves of that. What about when we're asked to teach Sunday school or have devotions? Are we willing and ready to do that, or does our prosperous lifestyle get in the way of church life? If it does, I think it's a sign that we have got our focus off of our spiritual life and become lukewarm. Let's be committed to the church, committed to the congregation. Let's be active in outreach work, evangelism, cottage meeting, Bible studies, other ways that we can be involved in affecting those around us, showing those around us the things of God and sharing it with those around us, with our customers, with our co-workers, those we meet from day to day. Let's share that word. Find a way to turn them to God and show them, tell them about God. There's many people today that are not thinking about Him. Let's allow our life to flow forth from us. Let's be on fire and hot that those around us would be affected by us, rather than lukewarm and just mixing in with the coolness of the world around us and their spiritual life. If we're not able to find time or have the courage to share our faith in a time of prosperity, what's going to happen when we face adversity, when we face persecution, when we face hardships? We live in a land of plenty. Let's share the gospel. Let's share it with others. So what's the answer for lukewarm spiritual life? Verse 19 says, "And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." When we cool off in our Christian life, it calls for repentance. We need to turn around and follow God. Like I said, become hot in our love for Him and pursuit of Him so that it affects those around us. Let's not become lukewarm because of the plenty, the things that we have, and it can create a sense of laxness in our life. You can turn with me back to Matthew chapter 6 for another few verses that Jesus, again, was teaching. This is a Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus had a few things to say about treasures. I mentioned that a little bit with the rich man. Jesus said that he was not rich toward God. Well, here Jesus talks about treasures again in verses 19 to 21 of Matthew 6. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The fourth peril of prosperity is laying up treasures on earth. Where is your treasure this evening? Where is your investments made? Jesus said in these verses, there's two places we can put treasures. He said, either they're here on earth, or we can lay up treasures in heaven. And notice in verse 21, Jesus did not say that where your heart is, that's where you're going to put your treasure. Sometimes we'd like to think that, well, because I'm wanting to follow God, because I'm intent on following God, that's where I'm going to put my energy into. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So what is our treasure tonight? How do we lay up treasure in heaven? I'm going to turn over to Mark 10. You're welcome to turn there if you would like. We want to look at this account, a little bit of the account of the rich young man that came to Jesus. And he had treasure. He had treasure that was here on this earth. It's a rich young ruler. The account is in, I think, three of the Gospels. Chosen to read the account here in Mark, verses 17 to 22. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus tells us here how to lay up treasure in heaven. He told this young man what he had to do to have treasures in heaven. He told him there was one thing standing between him and eternal life, and that was to go sell what he had and give to the poor, and he would have treasure in heaven. And I think we can safely say from this account that laying up treasures in heaven can include money. It can include financial assets that you and I have in our possession. What are we doing with them? We as American Christians are most likely making income that exceeds our need to survive. Is there any reason for the mission work of the church to suffer? Is there any reason for the Christians in countries that are not able to provide to go hungry? Is it reasonable that organizations like CAM could and should have almost more funds than they can disperse because of the prosperity that we enjoy here in this land? I think we need to have financial goals that go beyond our own lives, beyond our goal to retire, our goal for what we want to do. If God has blessed you in a way that you can help and provide in those ways, take advantage of that. Lay up treasure in heaven. And maybe it goes beyond money. As I mentioned, there's opportunities to volunteer, to give time to these organizations or the mission work. If you're able, volunteer time to serve in an organization. I'm involved in the work in Ukraine. There is openings there for volunteers. There's openings for house parents, a need for house parents to work and share the gospel with those who are not blessed like you and I are. They live in a country that is at war, and the the trauma that that brings on them is something that is, there's a, I think, is an opportunity for us to share the gospel with them. Maybe you can't give financially, maybe you can't volunteer your time, but you can pray. There's opportunities to lay up treasure in heaven by where our focus is, what our goals are, what we're thinking about, and what we're putting our energies into. This young ruler failed the test that Jesus gave him because he was unwilling to let go of the resources he had available to him at the current time. Are we holding on tightly to what we have, or are we ready and willing to use it for the benefit of God's kingdom? There's many ways, and I just mentioned a few of them. There's other ways that you can be involved in, and I trust you are. Have our treasure where our heart is. Let's lay up treasures in heaven so our heart will be there. I want to read now the in Luke 10 here. I want to keep reading verses 23 to 31. This is after the rich young ruler walked away because he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked upon them, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said it's hard for them that have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. And then in the second quote, when he quoted that the second time, he said, "How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven?" Do you have trust in your riches tonight? If we are trusting in our riches, if we're trusting in what we have, we are not laying up treasure in heaven. If we're trusting in riches, it's an indication our heart is here, and that's where our treasure will be. We need to get our focus off of the riches, the money, off our businesses and wealth, and put our priorities on God and His kingdom. Now, we still need to provide. We still need to occupy. There is a call to, and Jesus did encourage us to be busy here and working here. But let's not make that our main focus, our main priority. Instead, let's have a kingdom perspective on God and His kingdom. In verses 25, and Jesus used the illustration of a camel going through the eye of a needle, and I don't think we're going to take a lot of time to discuss that and the various thoughts surrounding that. But what I do find interesting, in verse 27, Jesus said, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." I believe God looks at riches with a different perspective than we do. I believe God sees our hearts. He sees our thoughts. He knows where our treasure is. He knows what my priorities are. He knows what my focus is. And maybe our fellow man look on and they say, "There's a person that has a real kingdom focus," or "There's a person that has his priorities mixed up." But we can trust and know that God sees it squarely and fairly. Let's keep a kingdom focus, focused on Him, and use our resources that He's blessed us with to further the kingdom of God. Think a little bit about Peter's comment here. And Peter said that, you know, we left everything, we're following you. We did a pretty good job of it. Peter left his fishing business to follow Jesus. And Jesus, I think, was blessing him in that. He went on to talk about the blessing of those who give themselves to the kingdom. He says, there's no man that has left, and he lists all these things that they left for my sake and the gospel, but he's going to receive blessing 100-fold. Yes, the rewards in this life may not be a huge bank account. It may not be a second home in Florida. But there is returns. We see the promise, the blessing of brothers and sisters 100-fold. I think that speaks of brotherhood, the blessing we have of a brotherhood that we can surround ourselves with. And we're blessed in many ways beyond what many around us that are trusting in their riches have. When you think about the blessing of brotherhood and how that we have brothers and sisters that will help us in the time of need. We don't need to worry about the losses that we may face in this life because we have the brotherhood there. Jesus mentions lands and persecutions. What did he mean by this? I don't know if I have the answer to that. How do these persecutions tie into the blessings that we have? But then he says, in the world to come, eternal life. The final reward for laying up treasure in heaven, putting our investments in eternity is the promise of eternal life. Eternal life is promised to those who give everything for the sake of the gospel, for the kingdom of God. And let's be doing that with our prosperity tonight. We have a lot to be thankful for, of blessings that are easy to take for granted. Let's be using them in a positive way, allowing them to further the kingdom of God. We don't know how long they'll continue, if we'll be faced with hardship in our lifetime. Let's use them to further the kingdom now while we can. Let's remember that the Laodiceans thought they had everything they needed, but Jesus said that they were poor. And let's remember that where our heart is where we're going to put our treasure. Where our treasure is there will be our heart. Let's lay up treasure in heaven so that we can have that eternal life someday too. Let's kneel together for prayer.